This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. Little bit after 10 p.m., still here. Your boy KM on the fan, you heard? Dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to talk a little football now. Got the Yankee talk out of the way. At some point, we'll get more into the Mets and Jose Iglesias and Nick Madrigal taking the jersey right off his back. And Francisco Alvarez, hey, you're going to be on Old Takes Exposed, bro. Just take it easy. I know everybody's excited. Spring training is upon us. Getting the band back together, but zip it up. Say less. In New York, we tell people, say less. All right. We're talking football now. Matthew Stafford, Giants. I don't really think it has any legs, but this is what happens this time of the year. Evan is in Manhattan. Evan, you're on the fan.
Keith, my guy, how are you?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Okay. So I got to give you credit tonight. I've always applauded you for listening to your fans, letting them have an opinion. Unlike BT and Sal, some of my less favorite guys. And I like how you shut down, you know, certain things tonight, like Matthew Stafford for the number three pick. That's like a Comedy Central bit, or if the SNL did it with Sandler back in the day, that would have been great. I like him as a bridge QB. You want to throw a third or fourth pick, and they bite on it. But that's like, you still have restraint given that guy time. So
yeah, I don't know if we're trading a third overall pick, maybe for Myles Garrett. I don't even know if Myles Garrett you don't trade that pick. You need a package of players and picks, not for a 36-year-old quarterback who also comes with the attachment of his wife's going to do a podcast and tell the whole world about what's going on inside of your building.
That's exactly right. I would say the only. And this is if you're fully loaded at other positions and just need a quarterback to make it happen. Maybe in the last 30 years, correct me if I'm forgetting somebody, maybe Tom Brady, if he got everything else, and you know he can like contend for two bowls. That's a 36-year-old guy. I don't know about anybody else. So anyway, I just want to applaud you on that. And the only other thing, and this is, you know, we're going football. With that three pick, if you're not sure, I think you take a bridge quarterback, no matter who it is, trade that three down and get more collateral. Thank you, Keith, and I'd love to hear your opinion on that.
Thanks for the call, Evan. Listen, this is what I feel, and I've been saying this for a long time. This GM and this head coach have no other out, no other way to keep their jobs but to draft a quarterback. My phrase is, complete the Holy Trinity, GM, head coach, quarterback. They couldn't tank correctly when Tommy Cutlets came along, and they missed out on multiple quarterbacks that we think are going to be pretty good for a while. Find your guy. Todd McShay was talking about Shedeur Sanders as well as Jackson Dart. I had Connor work on it. I don't know if we have it yet, but it's something that we have it. It's something that I want Giants fans to hear. And again, a lot of times I'm in here, you can't see me. I say hand up when I'm wrong or when I said something that, like, when Jackson Dart balled against Duke, I'm like, oh, here we go. Here comes the Jackson Dart hype. I saw him play against Florida, and the way that he turned the ball over to lose that game, I'm like, what is wrong with this game? But it's one game. And I have seen him run the ball. I've seen him throw the ball. I've seen him ball out, period. He's got the name of a quarterback. He's got the Ole Miss ties. And listening to Todd Shea, University of Richmond, I had an offer from University of Richmond. I should have taken my official visit down there to see what they were about. I never did. Todd McShay played quarterback down there. And now he's not doing ESPN anymore, but he's still analyzing film and talking about the draft. I want you to hear what he had to say about Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart. Go ahead.
They're completely different styles. It's almost like watching a different sport when you're watching Shedeur, the scrambling around, holding onto the ball, beautifully creating and giving his receivers more time, but everything's east, west, backwards, running around, and then making a beautiful throw because of his unbelievable instincts and his touch and his ball placement and all the things that he has that make him the best pure passer in this class. But with Jackson Dart, if I'm an offensive coordinator, I'm looking for a guy who's a little bit more in tune with running my offense, who's going to keep it moving forward. Everything's climbing the pocket, tucking and running. The same reasons that I like Drake May are a lot of the same reasons with Jackson Dart. It's very similar tape in terms of trying to be decisive, trying to keep things moving, progressing north, right? The difference was Drake May, the ball popped off his hands a little bit more than it pops off of Jackson. There's just more. He's just more talented. He's bigger. He's just as maybe slightly more athletic. He's got a stronger arm, but he's making decisions, pulling the trigger. He's setting his protections more this year. He's checking out of some bad plays. I see a maturation in his game that I hadn't seen previous to this year, okay?
I'm always trying to get you to be like, all right, well, who's quarterback two, McShay? I think we're in a conversation now.
Couple of things there. One, the Giants wanted Drake May last year. If they could have got Drake May, they would have. If they could have traded up, they would have. If the Patriots would have, you know, done that dance with him, they definitely would have taken Drake May. Todd McShay draws some parallels. Drake May has, you know, more size, pause. He's got more stature. He's taller. He's heavier. He's, you know, a bigger body than Jackson Dart. But, like, I'm starting to get intrigued by Jackson Dart, and I've started to pull up some of his tape, and I'm like, I don't know. He played in the SEC. He didn't play in the Pac-12. And he's 6'2", 225, and he just went to the Senior Bowl and turned a lot of heads. He's got the connection to Eli Manning already. Like, there might be something there with Jackson Dart. So what I'm saying to the Giants fans is, if they don't absolutely love Shedeur, which I've been convinced that they do love Shedeur Sanders, and that they've gone out there to recruit Shedeur Sanders, or not recruit, scout Shedeur Sanders multiple times, and that they, you know, there's something there with Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur scares me, though. The fact that he's only been coached by his dad, the fact that he's going to have such a target on his back and such a microscope on him because he's the son of Deion Sanders, it's good and bad. It's good for New York because New York will swallow you up. New York will engulf you, and we've seen people get chewed up and spit out here like a Zach Wilson. But, like, I don't know. I'm thinking, like, with that number three pick, when you look at some of these players that are available, like, at number three, somebody's going to want Travis Hunter. And if you don't want him, you can trade back. At number three, someone may want Abdul Carter. And, you know, Shedeur Sanders said he's meeting with the Giants and the Browns. What if Cam Ward goes one and Shedeur Sanders goes two? Then you have to go get Jackson Dart, but you don't take him at three. You trade back. And then there's going to be a run of teams. I don't know, man. It's gonna be interesting. I'm very interested in the combine. I did just see Deion's son, Shiloh, wasn't even invited to the combine. I don't know what Shedeur is going to do at the combine. But, like, we're coming up on all this stuff. I don't think that they should be trading for Matthew Stafford. You're not ready to win. You are not ready to win. You have the toughest strength of schedule in the NFL, the longest odds to make the Super Bowl. I don't see it, but I do see a future with Jackson Dart, maybe more than Shedeur Sanders now. Aaron is in Brooklyn on the Fan. Go for it, Aaron.
All right. Hey, Keith, what's up?
What's up, man?
I was thinking about a Matthew Stafford trade, but you're right, for Matthew Stafford for a third wouldn't work. But how about Matthew, Kupp, and the Rams 26th pick?
Matthew, Kupp, and the Rams 26th pick?
For the third. With the 26th, you might even still be able to get Jackson Dart.
I'm like, I just was telling him, I don't think Jackson Dart is going to fall that deep into the draft, bro. Because there are teams like the Raiders. There are teams like the Saints, right? The Saints are down
like the
there.
The Raiders are going to trade up for Sanders. I feel like the Raiders and Titans might do a trade to get Sanders. I feel like they're going to go all in on Sanders.
It takes two to tango. Somebody's got to trade for him. I don't know. I also, Cooper Kupp, I watched him closely. They didn't even target him. They didn't go to him. I just think, like, he's past his prime, and they knew that he was not a big part of the Rams' offense. And this is a guy that won the Triple Crown a few years ago. He was their whole offense. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You don't want these, like, you have Malik Nabers. You don't want these guys once they're past their prime, and you don't want to give up a number three overall pick for older players. Thanks for the call, Aaron. I just don't see it, man. Even if it is a package, the number three overall pick for Matt Stafford at age 36, Cooper Kupp, I'm telling you guys, watch the games. Cooper Kupp was an afterthought. They're throwing a DeMarcus Robinson before they're throwing a Cooper Kupp. They're throwing a Tyler Higbee before they're throwing a Cooper Kupp. Obviously, Puka Doncic is their number one. Do you guys see the video of Puka Nacua going to meet Luka Doncic and LeBron James? Shout out to Rami. Rami actually posted it first, and then I saw it, and I'm like, that is so genuine. Like, when you think about, you know, NFL players or any players that are fans before they get to the NFL, Puka's been in the league, what, 2 years? He's 23. He was born 2001. He's a huge LeBron fan. He spent most of his life, like, he referred to him as, like, our glorious king. To see Puka Nacua in L.A. at the Staples Center, or the Crypto.com, whatever it is, the Staples Center, house that Kobe built, to see him turn into a little kid. He is one of the best receivers in the league. To even see his girlfriend and how much, like, his girlfriend knew. His girlfriend films him watching LeBron highlights. To see Puka Nacua turn into a little kid when he gets the chance to meet LeBron, he didn't even know how to stand right next to LeBron. Like, when LeBron took a picture of him, I'm like, that is so genuine, because so many of these players, like, they get to the league and they lose that about themselves. They think that they're the man, that they, you know, like, they don't look at other players in other sports like that. Like, I thought it was so refreshing to see Puka Nacua turn into a little boy to, you know, with the chance to meet LeBron. And at first,
he thought
he was only going to meet Luka Doncic, and you can see he was a little disappointed, like, damn, I'm not going to get the chance to meet LeBron. And then when LeBron came out, he was all the way starstruck. But anyway, no, I can't. That number three pick, you just put in pain for that pick. That's a quick way to get these guys fired. Another story that came up on my news feed, the Giants are looking to sell off up to 10% of the team, according to the Sports Business Journal. Recent public estimates of the Giants' value range from $7.3 billion to $7.85 billion. Yeah, these Giants fans, they're still riding. It's been a rough decade. But somebody's buying those tickets. Somebody's buying that merch. Somebody's watching Hard Knocks. You guys heard about that, too. I was cracking up about that last night. It was one of the last things I said on my show. We may never see another off-season edition of Hard Knocks. One and done. How many times on The Fan did I say, fire whoever's idea it was for the Giants to never do Hard Knocks until it was time to be a fly on the wall, make Joe Shane the star, and show the entire world how you built a terrible team and moved on from a generational player in Saquon Barkley.
I thought you guys had some trouble sleeping lately.
Oh, my goodness. 888-808-1019. They can't find a team in the NFL that wants to do Hard Knocks, off-season Hard Knocks. Yeah, I wonder why. Because those clips of Joe Shane, Joe Shane's kids, Joe Shane's son, like, yo, get Jaden Daniels. Brian Daboll with his feet up. John Marison. Saquon Barkley is our most popular player by far. You know, I'm not going to be able to sleep if he goes to Philly. Those clips
I'm going to sleep like a baby.
Those clips live forever. Saquon is sleeping like a baby. Did you see the video of Saquon after the Super Bowl eating the birthday cake? I'm like, damn, he must not have ate. He was crushing that birthday cake. He was housing that birthday cake. And then he's in the locker room shotgunning beers like he's back in Happy Valley. I'm like, yo, I know Saquon's on like a strict diet and regimen. You know, happy for that guy. Not happy for the Eagles, but happy for his success. Eddie is in the Bronx. Eddie, you got it next. Go for it.
Hey, what's up, K-Mac? Man, let me tell you something. I'm in agreement that Saquon is a generational talent. But everything, I just feel like what went wrong was the fact that I think the Giants always have relied upon people's character more than anything, because what should have been done was the year before. If you had an inkling, a grain of sand thought of you weren't going to re-sign him, you should have traded him to the AFC. Then if he walks, and then if he goes back to the Eagles, that's not on you. But the thing about it is this whole talk about, oh, we couldn't sign the guy. What was he going to do? Like,
Eddie,
we got to the playoffs once.
Eddie, we had these conversations. I don't mean to cut you off, but like, we had these conversations. They contradict themselves, right? The reason they didn't trade him was because they didn't want to lose the locker room. They didn't want everybody in that locker room to say, you traded our best player, our captain, season's over, we are tanking.
But see, I think that would have been in the best interest of the team.
Of course it would have.
A lot of times.
Of course it would have. And then the following year, you decide, after Mara told you how popular he is in the locker room and with the fans, you decide you're not going to go the extra mile for him, that you're going to set your price and move on, and you let him go to a division rival. You pay that man just so that reality doesn't happen. And like you said, you lean into his character. He is a family man. He is in the community. You've never heard one bad thing about this guy off the field. And all he said was, you know where I want to be. I want to be a Giant. So let that be his legacy. Just because you're not ready to pay a running back, you have a guy that is a touch by the hand of God, a gold jacket guy, a number two overall pick, Saquon Barkley, no matter what. If he's telling you he wants to be a Giant because he's definitely thinking about, hey, I'm a running back. I don't know how many years I'm going to play. Maybe I take this into the media. Maybe I do something in New York City. Then you pay him and you let him finish his career here. I don't know, man. It just looks so bad. There's no way to spin it.
It does look bad. Now, you brought up something that actually I didn't think about. If anything, if you thought he had an inkling he was going to Philadelphia, I'd sign him just off of that. But the thing about it is I think the worst thing that could have ever happened to this franchise, as much as I hate to say it, was Dable winning in his first year. That was the absolute worst thing, because then this team would have been on another path. But now going forward, what do you do? And the thing is people say, well, you can. I think Stafford is kind of exciting, and it's like, do people say, do you take Travis Hunter? I'm like, no, because I don't have a quarterback. And the reality is, if I don't have a quarterback now, I got him and Malik Nabers, and then you don't have a quarterback. Then another year is passing; they're getting a little older, and oh, you got to look at their contracts, because you ain't keeping both of them. You're not going to be able to do that in three years. You're going to have to make a decision, because you ain't keeping both of them. But the reality is now, what do you do? And it's like, I feel like now this franchise is not taking a quarterback. And it's like, at this point, just because you bought them back, they're going to take a quarterback just because it's the only lifeboat that they have.
Yeah.
They can't do anything else. I'd like to take Abdul Carter if it was me.
Sure.
But then the thing about it is that these guys, you put them in a weird situation, because if those top two quarterbacks go off the board, it's almost like now you're basically scrambling around looking to save face, and it's just like, that's going to be crazy. So I don't know. I think the Giants should have gave up the farm last year to get Drake May, but what do I know? And I think
Patriots.
I got a Giants tattoo.
Yeah, Patriots weren't going to do it. Go on.
Yeah, I got a Giants tattoo on my arm, and I get laughed at work every day and says, well, why don't you just remove your arm? And I'm like,
I'm sorry, bro. because you got that tatted on you because the Giants used to be about pride. They used to be about getting the Super Bowls, winning Super Bowls. They used to have some real gritty bosses. They used to have some really good, tough players. They used to, like, make you feel proud to tat them on you and wear that as a fan. They have fallen from grace.
One thing I want to say before I go, and I've always thought this about, most Giants fans could probably attest to this. And I say the way that they handled Odell Beckham was the way that they should have handled Saquon Barkley. What I mean by that is Odell Beckham deserved to be a Giant more than Daniel Jones ever did. But because of his character, they moved him. And the reality is that's why I say the Giants as an organization have got to get off of this thing about people's character, because they're looking for somebody to be what Eli is, because that's their son. And that's it. But the thing was, you didn't want to offend Saquon Barkley, so you didn't trade him. And my thing is, that had nothing to do with it. You do what's in the best interest of the team. And it boggles my mind that they actually do this when I've always said the best player in their history might be the worst human being who's ever played the game, which is crazy to me. But I love him. And it's crazy that they do that. But it's like Mara, that's why I think Mara's got to get off of that, you know, with people's character and digging too much into that. Because I think another thing the Giants passed on, because of character, and a couple of other teams did too, was Laremy Tunsil. Because that was the problem. Left tackle was a problem for a long time before Andrew Thomas.
I mean, back then, he popped up on the internet with a smoking mask. Now, weed is available here in New York and New Jersey, and they don't even test the players for it anymore. These guys are smoking weed after the Super Bowl in the locker room. Thanks for the call, Eddie. 888-808-1019. Mistakes that are made. You know, even Jalen Carter dropping. Now, what Jalen Carter did was much worse than Laremy Tunsil being a college student smoking some weed at Ole Miss. You know, the Eagles didn't care. The Eagles are like, that guy is the next Aaron Donald. They took him at 9. There were mock drafts that had him at 1 the year before, had him being the number 1 overall pick. So, you know, and going back to, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., they got him out of here because, like, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. and his antics, it just didn't mesh with the Giants' way and the Giants' pride and the Giants' culture, right? Going back to what you said about Dable winning coach of the year and them winning that playoff game, it was fool's gold. But, you know, they were smelling themselves, Shane and Dable. So much so, USA is kicking their ass. It's 5-1. They are lighting them up. Call the dogs off. Get Finland off the ice. There's still 17 minutes to go here. It is bad. But, yeah, with the Giants, they should have, because of, like you said, with Eli – And Daniel Jones being an Eli clone, and we've done everything to screw this guy up. And, you know, Joe Shane and his GM book for dummies, oh, this is how we got to value the quarterback position. This quarterback is – Daniel Jones wasn't the reason you won that defense, and Saquon Barkley carrying the ball 30 times a game was the reason. But they didn't have the balls to tell Daniel Jones and his representation to go test free agency, go back and come back to us like they did with Saquon. That is insane. 808-1019.
The Philadelphia Eagles have won Super Bowl 59.
Why is that in the system? Why is that in the system? Tomorrow is the Eagles parade. There are warrants out for like over 20 to 30 people's arrest from the night that they won the Super Bowl. People that were literally trying to fight police and tearing down their city. And yeah, the Eagles have their parade tomorrow. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit of Candelita. And we'll play the song from New York's potential new Candelita, since David Stern doesn't want Jose Iglesias anymore. Keith McPherson on the Fan. BRB. Yeah. Good drop, Connor. Great beat. I got a feeling that the boy is going to make a historic comeback. You know? You underestimated greatly Drizzy Drake. I just think that somewhere in Australia, wherever he is, like, Drake is plotting. And he's already got hits in the tuck. And we'll hear the new album with Party Next Door after midnight. And then, I don't know, somewhere in this new year, we'll get a new Drake album. And there's going to be bangers, and there's going to be a response, and the beef is going to continue, and so be it, man. I'm a hip-hop fan. I like Kendrick. I like Drake. I like competition, but I feel like the beef between them two just got to a place where I never saw it going. And it's kind of crazy that it started last year with the song First Person Shooter, a video game reference. And the track was, you know, talking about the Super Bowl. Big as the what? Big as the Super Bowl. And then it ends with Kendrick performing Not Like Us at the Super Bowl. And again, I told you earlier in the week, that halftime show will live on longer than all of them. Because it is in 4K and people have reacted to it and made full-on, you know, YouTube videos dissecting everything and conspiracy theories. People are still trying to figure out every single thing. There's stuff that's popping up. I'm like, that's not what they were saying, but it has, you know, grown legs that no other halftime show will ever have, because all the other halftime shows are mainstream, play the hits. And Kendrick Lamar's like, nah, I'm bigger than I've ever been. I'll never get this opportunity again. I'm going to play the internet. I'm not going to play the hits. I'm going to put out so many Easter eggs and subliminal messages that the internet is going to respond to. And I kind of feel for Drake, just because I don't think he's what has been alleged. I don't think he, you know, and the whole world singing that and looking at him like that, is just, it was a well-played return serve. I remember I was live on air when Drake dropped Family Matters, and I'm watching the video live on air, and I'm fired up. I'm like, yeah, the boy is back. Yo, he got him. He went straight at his heart. And then, like, minutes later, they not like us. They not like us. It was just, it was so well played by Kendrick to step on Drake's response with a catchy dance tune with, like, all of these different, I don't know, man. It was well played. But anyway, back to the sports conversation. You can, I'm sure, find any information on that online, or maybe on the hip-hop radio stations in this city. They're talking about that right now, too. 888-808-1019. Let's play some hip-hop. I said that I was going to introduce you to potentially New York's new Candelita. At the number 3 pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the New York Giants select Shador Sanders, quarterback, Colorado. Let's play his new single that dropped today.
When you count this paper, yeah. Girl, I wanna see you, but I'll see you later, yeah. There's too much going on, girl, just do me a favor, yeah. Girl, I know you love me, but you know I can't date you, yeah.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm a rich, I ain't got no neighbors. I get men's, yeah, you haters. And lowered all my wheels because they feel so spacious. Yeah. When you come around, girl, you'll never feel bad.
Okay, that was terrible. Shador Sanders. Dan Waller. You're the Giants have to draft him. Just they got to follow up Darren Waller's terrible rap song with Shador Sanders. Whoa, whoa, whoa. So Shador, he's got a few songs out, but that's his new song called Life. And he dropped the music video if you want to go look it up on YouTube. And his YouTube channel is blowing up. And I follow his podcast as well. He's not a rapper. He's not a singer. It's fully auto-tuned. But I guess he's got a love interest. You know, I guess he's got a girl at Colorado that he's got to leave. And, you know, he might come to New York. He might go to Cleveland. He might go to Tennessee. He might go to Vegas. But sounds like he's singing to her. That song's trash. 888-808-1019. Josh is in Huntington. Josh, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, man, you're awesome.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, listen, has anybody ever talked about maybe the Giants trading Minnesota's J.K. McCarthy for the number 3 pick?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they need anybody up there, you know, since they're going to be picking lower, but I think that would be a good thing for the Giants to do if they can do it.
Yeah, that conversation was being had on the Fan during the season. I think it was before Sam Darnold completely blew it the last two games of the year and just pretty much signed his, his papers to leave. I don't think that Minnesota's going to pay him. I think he's going to be a Raider. Even if the Raiders do draft the quarterback, I think he's going to probably go with Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly and, you know, stay in a dome and play out there. But, you know, with J.J. McCarthy, he's still developing. He's still recovering. And with the draft pick that the Vikings used on him, I don't think the Vikings are gonna trade McCarthy. And they would have to pay Sam Darnold to even consider trading McCarthy. And I think most Giants fans are like, hey, we could have drafted this kid last year. Why would we give up any draft capital to get him now?
I mean, they should have drafted him last year, but...
Nah, Malik Nabers is real. Hell no. Like, if they can get Malik Nabers a consistent quarterback, he's going to be Jamar Chase. I'm not even joking. Like, I underestimated, like, actually how real that kid is. He is him. He's worth unretiring a jersey. Like, what he can do on the field, he's very much in line to be the next Jamar Chase if they can consistently get him the ball.
Yeah, well, it's like the same thing with Saquon, you know? The guy's going to be running for 2K each year from now on, you know? He was just getting stuck behind that crappy team in the Giants.
They failed him. They couldn't put an offensive line in front of Saquon. They failed Saquon. We never even got close to seeing 2K, say.
I know. All right.
And that's the thing. Thanks for the call, Josh, and the compliment. Build the offensive line, please. For once and for all, the Giants got to get 5 guys, a unit up front that they can believe in, that they can be confident in, because nothing is going to work. Not any quarterback, running back, whatever. If every quarterback you bring in here is running for his life, if every quarterback you bring in here is under duress, we just saw what happened to Patrick Mahomes. The Eagles... their front is not going anywhere. They got to build that offensive line. It doesn't matter if it's Shador Sanders, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Fields. They got to get the offensive line straight. And just to keep whiffing on offensive linemen and have offensive linemen be hurt. And like these last couple years, the Giants have had more different configurations of an offensive line, it seems, than anybody in the league. They got to get that right. 888 808-1019. Ross is in Bergen County on the Fan. I know he's watching what I'm watching.
Hey, Keith. How you doing, man?
Good, man. This game has been over. They're just going through the motions till the clock runs out here. What an impressive showing.
I don't know what happened to Soros, man. Finland's goalie plays for Nashville. He just freaking imploded to start this third period. 2 goals, like 11 seconds apart. He had both Tkachuk brothers who got goals on the night. This is shades of, you know, I called you last night and I said, kind of looking like, you know, U.S. taking over the sport. That's what people were talking about. You're talking about a game where Finland, you know, went up early, 1-0 off a goal nonetheless from, I think I brought up to you last night too, that a lot of the Finland's only got 11 total defensemen in the NHL. So they got like no room for error, and no less than 3 of the original roster defensemen for Finland wound up getting hurt. So there's only one defenseman, Finnish defense in the NHL, that at no point is never on the team.
Tkachuk with another goal. It's 6-1.
You got You got the Tkachuk brothers and the Hughes brothers are like the face of American hockey. That's not even talking about Matthews and Matt Boldy's got a goal tonight. You got Jack Eichel. I mean, you know, the tournament, you know, Fox, obviously, half the team's Rangers. So, I mean, they look awesome, right? Hellebuck had the early blunder, but he's been money ever since.
Yeah, I think it's good for hockey. Thanks for the call, Ross. I know the hockey fans are locked in watching this. I fall back on a call that I took a couple weeks ago about what the NHL has done to increase their ratings and the interest in hockey. Things like this, the Stadium Series, the Winter Classic, getting other people involved, having other famous athletes and influencers and people coming out to support hockey. NHL Network does a lot. Social media does a lot. There are a lot of good social media admins and managers for these hockey teams, and you got to play the internet. I'm sure there'll be a lot on the internet after this. I'm sure there's a lot right now on this. This is demolishing. So if you thought the game was interesting last night, I was in here last night, and I didn't really have eyes on it. I was watching the Knicks, but Canada beat Sweden in overtime, and that started to get some people's attention. This is a wrap. So, you know, let's go USA. USA with a dominant performance here against Finland. All right, when we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on David Stearns, Jose Iglesias, a.k.a. Candelita, and moving on from OMG and what this team has to do this year. Francisco Alvarez and some of his comments and some of the variables for the Mets, some of the potential holes, some of the things that they need to find out in camp and the competition that they're going to face in the National League. I've got calls about the Brooklyn Nets, which, hey, as a Nets fan, I'm not one of those Nets fans that's mad at them winning. Go ahead and win games, compete. I'd much rather watch the Nets try and make a push for the play-in. We still have some Yankee calls as well. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. I got about an hour and 10 minutes left. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. All right. About an hour and some change to go. We're going to make it to the end of the show. Another 5-hour KM to AM. Thanks for rocking with me. Thanks for supporting me. Thanks for calling my show. And I always try to send a shout out to the people that don't ever call. They don't want to be a part of the show. They don't want to voice their opinion. They don't want to be heard. They don't do that. They just sit back, relax, and enjoy. And whether you're driving, whether you're in the gym, whether you're at home chilling, whether you're watching TV and listening, whatever, I appreciate it. So I wanted to get a word in on Jose Iglesias, a Scott Boras guy, a guy that I just feel like there's no analytics that David Stearns can apply to what he did last year that makes him worth bringing back this year, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. When they signed Nick Madrigal, who has options, who does the same thing, that was their way of moving on and saying, this will be our type of guy this year. And what I think is, you know, good for Jose Iglesias is also bad for him. He had an amazing year. He was Bruce Wayne and Batman. By day, he is Jose Iglesias. By night, he is Candelita. Or the other way around, you know, to hit the pinnacle of your music career and also be playing at a high level for a team that's winning games, getting to the NLCS. It's amazing. Extremely blessed individual. But David Stearns is building a team, and now this is Juan Soto's team, and now this team has to have a different identity. And, you know, there were a ton of catchy things and gimmicks and props and, you know, stuff that men, women, and children all love with the Mets last year that worked. I don't think David Stearns is looking to go back to the well. 888-808-1019. He's a baseball guy. So he might say, yeah, all that is cute, all that is well and good, but like they need to have organically something else pop up. I even leaned on last night the whole smack in the air, spank in the air when they got on base. They got to come up with a new hit celebration. Last year was last year. And the whole point of this year should be to go further than you did last year. 888-808-1019. If any Mets fans want to chime in on the end of OMG Mets, like I said, when they had that display up at Amazing Day, I'm like, that is basically telling you it's done. They got his jersey up, the sign, it's just like one and done, one hit wonder. But man, that guy hustled. That guy had some timely hits, a hit streak. That guy brought energy. That guy will be literally remembered forever with what he was able to do as a pop star, a number one Latin digital streaming single. Other players were using it as his walkout song, and they played it at Citi Field, and that was their home run celebration. This team has to have a new identity. This team has to find a new identity. And honestly, I think it's going to be hard to do. I honestly do. I think they're going to have a target on their backs. I think Juan Soto is, you know, a guy that's high tide that raises all ships. But at the same time, it's like, it's going to be different. It is going to be different. I've been saying to Mets fans, welcome to Market One. Welcome to New York. You want to be big bro? Then be big bro. You want to be big brother in the town? Like, well, the Phillies are going to check you on that. The Braves are going to check you on that. Both of those teams that you beat on your way to face the Dodgers in the NLCS, they're going to want their lick back. They're going to want some get back. And you're not going to be able to sneak up on anybody this year. You have Juan Soto. You have Lindor, Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, Mark Vientos. That rotation better be ready to go. Kodai Senga, can he pitch 20 starts? 25 starts? Can he be healthy? Clay Holmes, I'm hearing good things about Clay Holmes. But, hell, I have experience with Clay Holmes where most of the time it didn't go so well. So let's see if he can turn into a starting pitcher. I know he's got some new pitches. He's developed his changeup. Go do your thing, Clay. Good luck. Frankie Montas. Can David Peterson and Sean Manaea be what they were last year? We don't know. These are question marks. Can Mark Vientos have a repeat performance? Are we going to get happy Jeff or agitated, pissed off Jeff McNeil? Is Francisco Alvarez going to back up all his conversation that he's been having? Oh, I think we've got the best lineup in baseball. Take it easy. Like the team that knocked you out, the team that just all the way reloaded, the team that defers all of this money, the rich keep getting richer, the Dodgers, they're calling themselves, the mecca of baseball. It's funny, right? Dave Roberts came out and said, he might not have said mecca, but I know Brian Cashman last year said that they wanted to be the mecca of baseball. I got to go find, I think it was on MLB Network, I saw it, I had it in my notes. Dave Roberts talking about how they're the epicenter, something like that, of baseball in the world. Right? Because obviously they have these great Japanese players, which of course we should have known the whole time. Baseball kicks off the season this year in the Tokyo Dome. I believe it's Cubs versus Dodgers. We should have known the entire time. Obviously, Roki Sasaki was going to be a Dodger. But yeah, man, the Mets and Mets fans, you can't be worried about the Yankees. The Yankees aren't going to be standing in your way. Maybe if the Yankees hold up their end of the bargain and get to the Fall Classic, in your own division, you've got teams to deal with. And then even outside of your division, the Dodgers, the Padres, there's going to be some good teams. The Diamondbacks want some get back. They want to get back to where they were. The Brewers, Caleb Durbin, Nestor Cortez, and the Brewers. It is going to be an amazing baseball season. It is going to be so much fun when we have actual games and series and things to talk about. But, yeah. David Stearns, I just look at him as a, straight to business guy. He wants tangible things that he can work with, that he can quantify. And I don't think he looks at Candelita OMG as something that lightning can strike twice. Here it is. Dave Roberts says the expectation is for both Roki Sasaki and Yoshinobu Yamamoto to pitch in Japan. Of course, you got to do that. They're in front of their countrymen. They're back home. But I'm still not finding the words that he used. And it just made me think of Cashman talking about, what Juan Soto here last year, who he traded for. Oh, yeah, we want this to be the mecca of baseball. And, Dave Roberts saying, no, L.A., especially as the reigning champs and, getting players, some of the best players in the world, when you look at these Japanese players going there. That is the mecca. That is the epicenter. That is the place that the entire baseball world is looking at and saying, wow, they have MVPs. They have aces. They have a ridiculous bullpen now. They have Hall of Famers. Like, it's the Dodgers World Series
again to lose. Can they go back to back? I'd hate to see it. But that's why we watch. That's why we have 162 in postseason. That's why we have this radio station on all day, every day. We'll have reaction after the games. I'll be on. C-Mac will be on taking your calls. And, you know, there are people that can't wait for first pitch, watch the game, listen to the post game, and, you know, all the way through the night. So let's break right here. I've got calls on everything, man. We're going to get to it. Usually when I get to 11 o'clock, I call it open mic, where anything that I missed, I'll try to bring to the table, and you should do the same. Anything that you'd like to get a word in on or get my thoughts or opinion on, coming up. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back after this.